Today we're going to continue on with foundations, and this is going to be number 7. That's a good number, isn't it? And if you can recall, we were taking it from Hebrews chapter 5, the end of that chapter, through part of chapter 6. So if you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews 5, and we'll start with verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits." So that's the main scripture that we have been taking these foundation teachings from. And I encourage you to go back and listen to those that preceded this, if you have not. And it will lay a foundation for the foundation's message. And also, Pastor Henry has done an excellent job with Jesus as Light. And if you want to live a long time, I encourage you to listen to message number 3, Jesus is Light. It may startle you, but I'm right on track with him. And I think it'd be a good thing to start with 120 years old. Amen. And see if you want to continue on from there, and that's fine. Because God says, he said, to give us the desires of our heart. But if you're satisfied, it's okay to go on. You know? So it's like one of the people that I heard of, he says, if you hear about me passing away, it's because I was satisfied. So we get to stay as long as we're satisfied. And the Apostle Paul said that, you know, I'd rather be with the Lord without this body, physical body, but for your sakes, I'll stay. So we do have a choice. And because of Christ, we can go whenever we're satisfied, whenever we're ready, and not because something takes us out. I know that's kind of different from what a lot of people teach, but I believe in Christ Jesus, he says, no harm shall come to you. His angels are ministering spirits for us, the believers. So we are surrounded by angels, and we have his power from within us to defeat everything that comes against us. I could preach another message on that, but I'll get started again on this. I'm going to talk about both the resurrection and eternal judgment today together. They are intertwined. I know you probably never thought about it that way, but they are. They're intertwined because of what Jesus has done for us. And he has a different judgment than a lot of the world has thought about. Amen. So the first question that I wanted to start out with was, why do you think the resurrection is so important? Have you ever thought about that? Why is the resurrection so important? You know, death is, from the time that, you know, we can remember, it's been taught that that's a finality thing. You know, there's taxes and death. you know, the resurrection is what separates Christianity from any other religion. I don't claim that Christianity is a religion because it's a relationship. It's a relationship between men and women and our Heavenly Father. So it's different from any other religion. But all the rest of them their leaders, their saviors, if that's what you want to call it, they're all in the grave. Jesus is the only one that resurrected. Now, in that resurrection, it speaks to us today of, number one, proof that Jesus is the Son of God. No other leader of any group of people, religious people, has ever been able to do that. But Jesus did. So if you would turn to Romans 1, and we're going to read a couple of scriptures here. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Notice it's according to the flesh. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So, there's a few other verses I'm going to go through, and it's just like any other message that you hear, but especially I want to remind you, don't take anything that I say as being gospel. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. I mean, we can guide you, we can point you in a direction, but ultimately it's whatever you get from the revelation from the Holy Spirit that really is going to make a change in your life. Because whenever you and Him get together and you agree on it, then His power is released in that word that you receive, and it will change you. And you will be more like Jesus because of it. And if someone comes against whatever it is that He has been teaching you and showing you, you won't budge. You'll stick with it because you know that you know that you know. So today I encourage you to go back through these scriptures, maybe go back on the internet after it's been posted and listen to it again and go back through these verses and assure yourself of everything that I'm saying, but more importantly, everything that the Holy Spirit is teaching you. Because each person learns in a different way. Each person can hear the same message but come away with different things. And as long as you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, that's the most important thing. Amen? So, it's also, His resurrection is a guarantee of eternal life for all those who believe in Jesus. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? It's a guarantee. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20 through 23. Now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all should be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who were Christ at his coming. The next scripture we're going to look at that reinforces that is in verses 50 in that same chapter. Verse 50 says, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this incorruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall he be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So it's corroborating there that we will be resurrected of our natural body, because it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord as believers. Okay? So he's saying that this body is not going to be left behind. It will also be raised up, and it'll be joined together with our spirit man and our soul, which cannot be separated except by the Word of God. And it'll be joined together, and we will be in our glorified body just as Jesus is today. Still a human being, still a spirit being, but also we will be like Him in that aspect. We can travel at the speed of thought, and we can roam around to different galaxies and things just like Jesus, because we'll have a different type of body. And it's a body that can be touched, but also it can go through walls. All the neat things that you read about in the book of Acts. So he's saying we're not going to leave your body in the grave, but we're going to raise it up also by His power, and it'll be reunited so that we'll be a triune being again. Amen? So there's the more of the guarantee. And I'll give you one more. Well, I've actually got several more. Let's go to Hebrews 2. Here's a very important one. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Mm-hmm. 14 and 15. It says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." Now that word "destroyed" there means to make utterly useless. Because you know, the devil is still around. The demons are still around for now. But see, their power has been taken away. The only thing that they have is deception. And if you don't know that he that's in you is more powerful than them, then you may succumb to suggestions, just like Eve did. Adam knew that he was doing wrong. Eve was deceived. That's a whole nother message. But anyway, the thing is that they are defeated, and they know it. And the only game that they play is trying to deceive people who don't know that they don't have power. It's like Jesus is holding down by his foot on the neck, and go ahead, kick them again. They can't do anything to you. So they are under your feet, just like they're under Jesus' feet. Amen. He said, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. You see, he even broke the fear that people have of dying. Because you have hope that you will spend eternity with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in fact, if you go back and look in John 17, he said that he has made us one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can't separate one, can you? So he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Amen. So there's a guarantee of eternal life that's knowing. John 17:3 says that knowing the Father and the Son is what eternal life is. So that's relationship. That's intimacy. That's fellowship. That's where we are today as believers. We have Him and He has us. And He says, "I'm not going to leave you." He said, "Well, I've heard other teaching." Yeah, I know that you have. I have too. But the thing is, how are you going to be separated? He said, "Nothing can separate us from His love." You're not. So there's no scary stuff out there. Maybe I might not make it. The only thing that made you available was whenever you said, "I believe in Jesus. Period. I believe in Jesus for my salvation. I can't do anything to earn it. In fact, I can't make all the things that I've done wrong right. Only Jesus could do that." So whenever you made Him your Savior, He says, "I'm not going to leave you." And He says, "You're my child. And he says, I have opened myself up to you to have fellowship with you. And I love you, and I'll continue to love you, and we'll have this relationship forever. Over in Hebrews again, it talks about eternal redemption. Many of you may not have heard, but the sins that Jesus went to the cross for to forgive, he actually forgave all of them that you haven't committed yet. So that's eternal security. Whenever you know that even those that you haven't committed yet have already been forgiven in Christ Jesus. So that kind of takes away the confession thing in order to get it forgiven. We'll move right along. That's a whole other message too. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 and 14. It says, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. The resurrection is a fact. He also reminds us, he says, whenever Jesus went to the cross, it said he died. It said that we died with him. It said whenever he was raised, we were raised. The newness of life in Christ Jesus. And that's what the picture of baptism is, if you remember that teaching. And so we can constantly remind ourselves of who we are now in Christ Jesus. You see, the message of identity, our identity now in Christ Jesus, is so strong you can come at it from all different directions. But it comes back to knowing who you are in Christ Jesus so that you can walk in it. It says, as he is, so are you in this world. But if you don't know who you are, you won't know where to walk or how to walk. And so that's constantly reminding each one of us that we are in Christ Jesus. He has us, we have him. And it says that we've been made just like Jesus on this earth today. He's seated at the power seat. He still has the scars to remind those that see him of the sacrifice that he did just for them. But he's still a man. 100% God, 100% man. Even though he's in a glorified body, he looks like a man, and he is a man. He's still representing us as our high priest to the Father. I don't know if that does something for y'all, but whenever I think about that, it's like all of this is done just for me. If I'd been the only one on the earth, he'd have done it. And I hope each one of you think about what Jesus did in that same context, that if you were the only one, he would have come anyway, just for you. Amen. He would have done it.
Amen.
For one person.
Thank you.
Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the reason I mentioned these two topics as far as eternal damnation and the resurrection are intertwined, the word says that all men will be resurrected. Some of you may not have thought of that. But all the bodies are going to come out of the grave. Some are going to be with God forever, and the other ones won't be. And that's what that eternal judgment that it talks about. Now, a lot of people have made the comments about, you know, God sending people to hell and the lake of fire and all this kind of stuff. The Lord doesn't send anybody. By decision to reject Jesus Christ is the only way that a person is going to go in that direction and be separated from God. And his will is that none should perish. None. His love even goes out to those people that hate him and don't want anything to do with him. And we all have hope. As long as that person has breath in their body, hope that they will see Jesus for who he truthfully is. That they won't allow religion that has been taught to them by a number of people that are giving false teaching about who God really is to turn their backs on the church, but more importantly on Christ, because they see the church as a bunch of hypocrites. They see religion as just a prop that people have to depend on because they can't make it on their own. They see religion as just for women, that you have to be weak in order to be part of that stuff. No. Jesus is strong. He's strong on our behalf. And He has judged us also. Did you know that? Jesus has judged all men. He says, in me, I judge you righteous. Separate from your behavior, separate from everything, just because you believe in Him, He has given us His righteousness for those who believe. And that righteousness says that you can stand in the Father's presence without shame, without guilt, knowing that His love has dealt with every single thing in your past, your present, and your future that would separate you from Him. And He sees you exactly the same way that He sees His Son Jesus. I don't know if you've ever heard that again, but let me say it again. He sees you exactly the same way that He sees Jesus, because you have been made in Jesus whenever you said, I want Jesus as my Savior. I can't do this on my own. I can't earn anything. I receive God's love through Jesus. He sees you perfect. And if you look the word the Holy Spirit was given, where He talks about He's been sent to do some things in the earth to convict men of sin. If you read on down, it says the sin of not believing Jesus. That's the only sin that the Holy Spirit actually convicts people of. That may be an eye-opener for some people too. But he's not into the behavior thing, because He knows if He gets your belief system in line with His Word, then the behavior would take care of itself.
That's right.
Joseph Prince says, if you be believing, if you are believing right, you'll be living right. And that's what he's talking about, because the heart will change the thoughts. The belief system is the heart. The heart, whenever it believes according to the Word, it'll change your thoughts, which will change your emotions, and that will change your actions. It's just like psychology and sociology. I'm sure they've helped some people, but they start out with the soulish realm. And it's why it's short-lived sometimes. Has anybody other than me ever made a New Year's resolution? I think my longest lasted 3 days. But you see, whenever your belief system is changed and in line with the Word of God, His power flows through you then, because it's a belief to you.
Amen.
And He gives you that His power to actually enforce that in your life. It becomes a desire that you have, because it's a belief that you have now that's based on fact of His Word. And so His power is released so that you can operate in that. It changes the way you think. It will change your emotions. Even though your emotions may be like this, it will actually steady your emotions in that area. And then your behavior is going to change. And it says that as we look in the mirror of the Bible and see Jesus, and as we do that, it says we'll be changed into the same image as by the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit was flowing through us to change the way that we see ourselves. Our belief system about Him is the same thing about our belief system about us, because as you are in this world, it's the same as Jesus is right now. I'm reinforcing these things. I'm going over and over them because we need to hear them over and over. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, the gospel. And I'm just talking about gospel of what He's done. So the impact that you have in your life is according to how much you've received of the truth that you are in Christ Jesus, and that the power of God has made you just like He is, from the inside out. And so you're being transformed right now from glory to glory. Because the glory of the old covenant was good. But the glory of the new covenant is so much more advanced and superior that it's not really a comparison from glory to glory. The Lord is so good, isn't He? Amen. Let's look at John 5. John 5, 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment or condemnation, but has passed from death into life. That means it's past tense. You've already passed over. You're no longer in darkness. You're no longer in the death mode. You're passed over into life. Life and light. Amen. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to exercise judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So all men will be resurrected. And it's just a choice of a person as to which direction you're going to go. Doing evil, that word evil has a connotation of working, of doing something, of earning. You can't earn a spot on that train. If we try to earn it, we fail. And we don't allow His power to flow through us because we're trying to do it because, look at me. And He says, look at Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And that's where it's at. Because only Jesus can be the Savior. If you say, I can earn it, like the Israelites did, oh, surely we can obey all the commands. You tell us and we'll do it. They made themselves God. It's called idolatry. You're trying to take God's place by saying, oh yeah, we can do that. And they realized they couldn't. And that's the reason that the commands were given to show people they needed a Savior. They couldn't keep them. In the flesh, for a little while, maybe they could, but in the thought process, Jesus brought it home and everyone says, okay, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. If you're angry with your brother for no cause, you've committed murder in your heart. So even the Pharisees, the ones that thought they had it all together, they realized Jesus put another standard on it that we don't. We looked at the actions and, you know, they might have had to tie themselves up to keep themselves from doing certain things, but He's saying, if you've even thought about it, you're guilty of it. And then they'll always even further. It said, if you've committed one act against the commandments, you're guilty of all of them. So even if you told a little white lie, you're guilty of murder too. It said, you're guilty of all of them if you've broken one. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? But the law was never given to save anybody. Let me say that again. The law was never given to save anybody. It can. That's the reason that the Bible calls it the ministry of condemnation and the ministry of death. That's good Bible. All it can do is just point out a person's faults. It can't save anyone. But Jesus has. And people today, more and more and more, people are coming to Him as Savior. Out of this room, there's going to be thousands and tens of thousands of people come to Jesus. Because you'll be sharing the good news with people. The truth of Jesus Christ. His love for you. As demonstrated in what He did at the cross. And the resurrection. His resurrection. And now He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And He's looking at you. And He says, my daddy loves you. Just like we sang. My daddy loves you. And his opinion has never changed, no matter how you act or what you say or what you think, because he sees you in Christ Jesus. He sees you the same as Christ, holy, righteous, and perfect in his sight. Amen. Now, the other one, as far as the resurrection of condemnation, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. I'll just give you the reference. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Because I'm not going to end this message on that note. You can look it up. But it says that those who have their names written in the book of life will not go where those people went. Those who have their names written in the Lamb's book of life will not go into the lake of fire with the devil and Hades and hell and all those things. They will not be tormented, but they will live forever and ever in God's presence, enjoying Him, basking in His love, being kings and priests of the universe, just as Jesus is. If you've ever asked Christ to become your Savior, you have already stepped over into that eternal promise. It's yours. It's better than any kind of contract that you've ever signed. It's a permanent deal. Some say, well, you can lose your salvation. Well, whenever you're born into the kingdom, I've never seen anybody get unborn. I don't know about y'all, but he says whenever you make that decision, if you believe in Christ Jesus, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, look at all these other things that people do. Yeah. Well, doing didn't get you saved. It's not going to get you unsaved. He says, your sins and iniquities I remember no more. If he doesn't remember them, we shouldn't either. Because that's who we were. This is a new day. It's a new time in your life. And you can reflect back on who he is in you and how good he is to you, how much he loves you. If you look at eternal judgment, whenever you see a person that the Lord places on your heart, it will overcome that fear of talking to them because you know that you have something that they need, not only here in this life, but also forever, for all eternity. They need to hear the good news. And he will empower you. If he's touched your heart to talk to a person, that's all you need. He will flow through you to touch that person. Now, are they going to get saved? I don't know. But you're planting a seed that someone else can come along and water. And who knows, you may see that person whenever you go on to glory and they say, thank you. Thank you for that time that you shared with me. You never really understand how much you impact another person. Sometimes we might get an email. Sometimes later on a person will tell us how much it meant to them whenever we talked to them. Many times you never hear from them again because you just met in passing. They went about their lives in another state, another country. You never see them again. But the thing is, the Lord is flowing through you. And so it was not a waste of your time. It was not a waste of your breath. Because that person is just as important to our Heavenly Father as you are. Think about this. Knowing that Jesus' resurrection has guaranteed us eternal life with Him, that's better than any deal that you've ever entered into here on this earth. Most of the deals we enter into, after we've been into them for a while, we realize the fine print comes into effect. Well, this maybe, and that was kind of misrepresented here. They promised me this, that, and the other, and it's not quite coming to pass. Well, in this, from the Word of God, I can assure you, it's even better than anything that we have ever imagined. It's even better. So, this deal with Jesus, There's no fine print there. Everything's in His Word. He's very open about it. And He says, if you come and make me your Savior, He says, we're going to be one forever. You'll never be separated from me and my love. You're never separated from His power. You're never separated from everything that He went to the cross to rectify. Because whenever He went to the cross, it says that we went with Him. And you think about this. The next time you have a challenge in your life, think about this. Whenever Jesus went to the cross and died, whatever situation you were having, it died too. Because whenever He arose, it said He arose victorious over death, hell, the grave. Every situation, every calamity, everything in your life, every sickness, disease, every pain, anything that you can think of, it says that He was victorious over that.
Amen.
On your behalf, it's already been done. The only question is, are we just going to rely on Him, or are we going to try to handle it ourselves? That's the only question. He said, I love you this much, but if you got your hands on it, I can't handle it. You have to let go and let me. I'll end this with the last picture so you remember it. Andrew Womack's son was about 4 years old, and he was into the I'll do it myself mode. Everywhere they went, he was wanting to feed himself, he was wanting to tie his own shoes, he was wanting to put on his own clothes, even though it took him 45 minutes. They had to wait for him. He was in this, I'll do it myself. Don't mess with me, I'll do it myself. So he was going to be the usher one day at a restaurant. They got up from the table and he ran to the door and he was going to open the door for them like a good little boy. He grabbed a hold of the door and he pulled and it didn't come open. And he kept pulling and he got exhausted. And the whole family was standing there waiting. Other people were on the other side of the door waiting. Andrew says, I'll help you. No, I'll do it myself. He even got up and put his feet on the wall and was hanging off the door handle, pulling on it. It didn't budge. He said, son, if you'll let go, I'll help you. I'll do it myself. And he kept until he was just exhausted. So he just slumped down in the floor, defeated. Andrew pushed the door open and the family went through. So as you think about that, He wants to help us. He doesn't want us to struggle with things because He knows best of how to open those doors. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we just praise You and thank You today. We love You because You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, You're awesome. Thank You for loving us, even through the unloveliness. Thank You, Father, for doing everything for us that we can never do for ourselves, and that You did it all through Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank You for loving us enough to come and be tortured, to give Your life in exchange for our lives, to give us Your health in exchange for sickness and disease and pain, to give us Your prosperity in exchange for poverty and debt, to give us well-being and peace that only You can give in a chaotic world like we live in today. Father, I just thank You for delivering us from all the power of the demonic realm, that You have defeated them, made them utterly useless, and You've given us Your authority to stand firm and resolute, even in the midst of chaotic stuff that we live in. That we already have the victory in Christ Jesus in every situation. And all we need to do is stay steadfast in looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and not try to grab a hold of things and handle them ourselves in the ignorance of our natural minds. But we can depend upon Your wisdom, Your understanding, to see us through every situation. Father, thank You that Your word is truth, that is backed up by Your power as creator of the universe. of Creator of everything. And the love that you have for us, that we would have more revelation of how much you truthfully do love us and desire the intimacy with each one of us on a moment-by-moment basis, every day. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for sending Jesus as an expression of your perfect love that casts out fear. Thank you, Father, for placing in us the peace that only you can give, no matter what's going on in our lives, because we know that we know that we know by your Holy Spirit that it's going to be okay, that you have already given us the victory in Christ Jesus. We just need to allow you to flow through our lives to work those things out that we have no idea how to deal with, but we trust in you that it's been done. Father, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.